Good morning. My name is Michael Hickox. I'm an evangelist with the Olney Church of Christ. We are a group of Christians who meet here in Olney at 220 North Van Street. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings for Bible study, 10:20 on Sunday mornings for worship, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons for worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. We welcome visitors if you would like to join us as we assemble together to worship God and to study from His Word. We also offer in-home Bible studies if you would be interested in studying from the Word of God to learn more about who He is and what His will is for us. We would be happy to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is olneychurchofchrist.org. The website, again, is olneychurchofchrist.org, and the number is 217-218-0803. This morning in our program, we will notice some things that Scripture teaches about treasures in heaven. That phrase, treasures in heaven, is a phrase that was used by Jesus in Matthew, the 6th chapter, which is the first chapter we'll look at here in our lesson this morning. Matthew, chapter 6. And I'll be reading from the World English Bible Translation here this morning. Matthew, chapter 6. Notice, if you will, what Jesus says there in verses 19 and 20. It says, "Don't lay up treasures for yourselves on the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves don't break through and steal." Notice here in these two verses, Jesus contrasts the value of laying up treasures for ourselves on the earth with laying up treasures in heaven. Laying up treasures on the earth involves centering our lives and basing our hope on earthly riches, money, possessions. It could be things like fame or prestige, any number of things that the world says is important and life is about. Laying up treasures for ourselves on the earth involves centering our lives and our focus on these material, temporal things, basing our hope on these things, instead of living to please God, looking for that hope that we have of spending eternity in heaven with Him. Jesus here in these two verses demonstrates the foolishness of laying up for ourselves treasures here on this earth, and the wisdom of laying up treasures in heaven. And we'll notice some points taught throughout Scripture here this morning that help us understand what laying up treasures in heaven is all about and why it is so wise for us to submit to what Jesus requires here in Matthew 6, 19 and 20 and lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. If you would like to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll notice a few points from that passage here in our lesson this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6. One of the points that is brought out in Scripture that we want to recognize to better understand treasures in heaven contrasted with treasures on this earth is that following Christ is not a blueprint for earthly wealth. You might have heard the term before, prosperity gospel. And for those who may not be familiar with that term, it is a term that basically refers to a false doctrine that says if we submit to Christ, we are going to have lots of riches as we are here on this earth. Material riches, that is, as we are here on this earth. This is a doctrine that is not supported by God in His Word. Notice here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 what is said in verses 3 through 5. It says, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and doesn't consent to sound words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is conceited, knowing nothing, but obsessed with arguments, disputes, and word battles, from which come envy, strife, insulting, evil suspicions, constant friction of people of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Withdraw yourselves from such. Notice here as the Holy Spirit speaks about characteristics of the false teacher, he says he supposes that godliness is a means of gain. Now we'll see from the context that the gain referred to here is not spiritual gain, but rather this is in reference to material gain. In other words, this is someone who treats godliness or following Christ like a business. He sees following Christ as something that is about acquiring earthly riches and wealth here on this earth. That is a doctrine that is not supported by God. One thing that is ironic about this false doctrine is that the very individual, the very person Christianity is founded upon was at times not very wealthy as he was here on this earth. Jesus Christ himself at times lived very modestly, we might say. I'm using that term to mean he lived with very little materially at times as he was here on this earth. Notice what is said over in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and in verse 58. Luke chapter 9 and in verse 58 says, Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. As Jesus walked here on this earth, there was times when he was homeless. He would often find a place to lay down, but he didn't at times have a home that he went to night in and night out to lay his head. He was very poor from an earthly perspective at times as he walked here on this earth. And we see throughout the New Testament that many of his disciples were likewise often poor at times. Now, this does not mean that to follow Christ, we must deprive ourselves of earthly riches. We see that he was at times poor, so we must make ourselves poor from an earthly perspective. God does not teach that in his word, and he also doesn't teach that we can't have some enjoyment to an extent in earthly possessions, but he certainly does not teach in his word that following Christ is a blueprint for being wealthy as we're here on this earth. God does provide for the needs of his children according to his wisdom, but that does not mean that following Christ is going to make us rich materially. That is a false doctrine that is exposed there in 1 Timothy chapter 6. But notice another point brought out in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that piggybacks off of this last point, and that is that following Christ leads to spiritual riches. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6 what is said in verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." So he's just pointed out the error of supposing that godliness is a means of gain. That is, godliness is a way to get rich materially. That's a false teaching that's exposed there in verse 5. But then in verse 6, he shows how godliness and gain are connected. He says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness with contentment is itself great gain. It's not a way to gain material riches. It is gain itself. That is, godliness with contentment is great spiritual gain. It provides great spiritual riches. This is what following Christ is all about. Notice a verse over in the book of Revelation that helps to bring out this point. Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, our Lord addresses seven churches and speaks to things that they needed to correct or needed to be mindful of. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, he is addressing the church at Smyrna. And notice what he says to this church in the first part of this verse. Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 9. He says, "I know your works, oppression, and your poverty, but you are rich." Notice there that he says, "I know your poverty, but you are rich." Now we might ask the question, how can somebody be in poverty and yet be rich? It comes down to understanding what true riches are in the eyes of God, what truly great gain is in the eyes of God. It's not about having earthly riches and wealth. Rather, it's about the spiritual riches that are available to those who are in Christ. This is what following Christ is all about. It's not a blueprint for earthly wealth, but rather it leads to spiritual riches. But we also see there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that the earthly riches that so many center their lives on and so many base their hopes in, these earthly riches are fleeting in nature. Notice what is said there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 7. It says, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we certainly can't carry anything out." You might have heard the phrase before, "We can't take it with us when we go." That is a phrase that implies centering our lives on possessions and money is folly, because we can't take any of that with us when we leave this earth anyway. And that's a principle that is supported in Scripture. We brought nothing into the world, and we certainly can't carry anything out. The riches we acquire here on this earth are fine for us to enjoy to an extent as we're here on this earth. They're not evil by any means, but they're not what life's about. And when we leave this earth, we're not going to be able to take them with us. Notice what is said over in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. Says, he said to them, and the he there is speaking of Christ, beware, keep yourselves from covetousness, for a man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses. I'll read that sentence again, or that phrase. A man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now notice a parable, if you will, that Jesus goes on to speak to illustrate this point. Verse 16 says, he spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man produced abundantly. He reasoned within himself saying, what will I do? Because I don't have room to store my crops. He said, this is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. I will tell my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you foolish one, tonight your soul is required of you. The things which you have prepared, whose will they be? And after referencing this man as a foolish one, Jesus says in verse 21, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Notice here in this parable, as Jesus warns about covetousness, he speaks about a rich man who was planning to pull down his barns and build bigger ones. And there's nothing wrong in itself with building bigger barns. But Jesus says of this man that he was saying to himself, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. The indication here in this passage is that this man's life was centered on his riches. He was not rich toward God, but rather he was focused on these earthly riches. He trusted in these riches so much that he thought, I'll just be able to sit back and relax and enjoy my riches for many years. That's what his goal in life was. And Jesus says, God told this man he was a fool. You foolish one. Verse 20 says, his soul was going to be required of him that very night, meaning he was going to leave the earth that very night. And so he was asked the question, the things which you have prepared, whose will they be? You're not going to be able to take them with you when you go. That's what this rich man came to realize, and that's what each of us should realize as well. As we think about earthly riches, they are fleeting, meaning they're not going to be able to be taken with us when we go from this earth. And ultimately, when Christ returns to judge the world, all that's in the earth, we're told, will be burned up. And so we find from Scripture that earthly riches are temporal in nature. The satisfaction they provide is very temporal in nature. But when we contrast that with the eternal nature, the permanent value of the treasures in heaven, it helps us then to understand that our hope should be based in heaven rather than treasures here on this earth. And that's the last point that we want to glean from 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you look back at 1 Timothy chapter 6, and this time we'll notice verses 17 through 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19 says there, "Charge those who are rich in this present world that they not be haughty, nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on the living God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." I'm going to stop there for just a moment. He gives a charge here in this verse for those who are rich in this present world, and it's a charge that each of us should think about, whether we have a lot or a little materially. He says, first of all, charge them not to be haughty, not to be arrogant, not to think because we might have more earthly riches than somebody else, that makes us better than someone else. God points out there's no reason for that arrogance. That's folly. And he goes on to say, those who are rich in this world should be charged not to have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on the living God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. God allows us to have all of the earthly riches that we're able to enjoy, and God can take away those things from us in an instant. We saw that point brought out with the rich fool of Luke chapter 12. And so our hope and our trust should be set on the living God rather than on these earthly riches. And he goes on to say there in verse 18 of 1 Timothy chapter 6 that those rich in this world should be charged that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. And so instead of just seeking to be rich in this life, says those rich in this world should seek to be rich in good works. And by being rich in good works, and this again goes for all of us, whether we have a lot or a little materially, by being rich in good works, we can thus lay up in store a good foundation against the time of to come, laying hold of eternal life. And so the emphasis brought out here in these verses is similar to that brought out by Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. Don't lay up treasures here on this earth, but rather lay up treasures in heaven. This doesn't, again, mean that it is wrong to have earthly riches. There are some of Christ's faithful followers who are wealthy materially. There are some who are not. Neither is necessarily better or worse just based upon how much or how little we have materially. Neither is commanded to change our situation. Those who are poor don't have to seek to be rich in order to be pleasing to God. And those who are rich aren't told that they have to deprive themselves in order to be pleasing to God. Both those who are poor and those who are rich can be pleasing to Him. The emphasis here is not about whether we are rich or poor, but rather it's about priorities. It's about comparative values. It's about what our hope is based on, whether our hope is based in earthly treasures or in heavenly treasures. We need to make sure it's based in those heavenly treasures, as Jesus commands in Matthew chapter 6. And so as we tie all of this together, we want to recognize again, as Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and in verse 15, that a man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses. Jesus says that's not what life is all about. If you have earthly riches, fine. If you don't, fine. That's not what life is about. We should be instead centering our lives on pleasing God and thus laying up treasures in heaven, treasures that will profit us for eternity and not just for a brief time as we're here on this earth. And I want to read one last verse to tie all of this together. This verse is in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 26. Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 26. And I'll read this from the King James Version. Jesus there is speaking and he says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What will it matter if we gain all of the riches here on this earth and yet lose our soul for eternity?" And in this context, that means spending eternity in hell. What will it matter? And yet on the other hand, what will not be worth it as we're here on this earth to face if we are able to spend eternity in heaven with God? If you have questions about anything that was stated this morning or you would like to study further, please don't hesitate to contact us. You can reach us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is allnechurchofchrist.org. We will conclude our 30-minute lesson here this morning with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.